Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
My next guest, John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group. He's a great follow on Twitter, at Wilner Hotline. He's joining us now. John Wilner, what's the latest that you know?
Boy, well, I mean, things are moving fast, real fast, and I think that's going to continue to be the case for the next, you know, through tomorrow for sure. The latest is that many very prominent Big Ten coaches and players have gone very public in their desire to play, and that is putting some pressure on Big Ten presidents who are meeting this evening and are expected to vote on the season this evening. But whether that vote actually takes place, given this recent pressure, and there's also some political pressure in some states, it'll be very interesting to see if they actually do take a vote.
There's a lot of dominoes here, and for people who are looking at the big picture, you're looking at enrollment dropping. You got students who are saying, I'm just going to take a year off rather than be in person. You've got tax revenue that feeds Oregon, Oregon State, and other state schools across the conference that has been reduced because of unemployment. Now you have dominoes falling in college football. What changed in the last 5 days? Because, you know, they released the schedule, and then 5 business days later, they're more or less now looking like they're ready to vote and call the thing off.
Yeah, that's the big question, is what has changed? And, you know, I think that there was certainly some hesitancy, especially among presidents, hesitancy among presidents, skepticism among athletic directors for many, many weeks. But what has materially changed in the last 5 days? Well, the only thing that really happened is the Mid-American Conference announced on Saturday that it wasn't going to play. But you wouldn't think that would have a big impact on the conferences, that the big conferences, which had already said we're only playing conference games. So, but I do think that there's probably, you know, the Mid-American Conference overlaps with the Big Ten, right? You've got Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan, Western Michigan are all in the Big Ten, or all in, you know, Big Ten territory, right near one of the flagship schools of the Big Ten. I do think that probably had some influence on Big Ten presidents to kind of move them towards the vote to shut down. That's the only thing that's happened materially. Otherwise, it's a little bit of a mystery to me. Why now? Why not 3 weeks ago, or why not 3 weeks from now?
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group. Wilner, I tweeted out, and you've been on record, and you know, we both believe that the Pac-12 will follow whatever the Big Ten does. I've tried to explain that to people. How do you easily explain why the Pac-12's a follower here?
Well, I think that there's a, if I were going to bet, I would say the Pac-12 will be the follower. I think that there is a chance, and it's not a good chance, but I think that nobody should be surprised if there is some kind of joint statement from Big Ten and Pac-12 presidents saying we're going to shut it down. Then that would come out tomorrow. I wouldn't totally dismiss that possibility. You know, I think the Pac-12 does not want to be out there alone. That's part of it. The presidents are aware, and certainly the athletic directors and Commissioner Larry Scott, aware of the perception Pac-12 doesn't care as much about football, aware that the conference has taken a lot of hits in the last few years. So what happens if the Pac-12 says, all right, we're shutting down, and then nobody else does, and they keep moving forward? And the next thing you know, it's a few weeks from now, and maybe teams are getting ready to play, and the Pac-12 has already announced they're shutting down. I don't think they want to go first. And they do take their cue from the Big Ten in part because of the long association with the Rose Bowl. You know, the schools know each other presidents know each other. And also, I think that just generally, Pac-12 presidents have always looked at the Big Ten as their peer academically. You know, the Big Ten has got, like the Pac-12, a lot of schools that are members of the Association of American Universities, which is a very prestigious group of about 60, 65 universities. And that kind of thing means a lot. Being in that, in the AAU, means a lot to university presidents. Big Ten's got 13, Pac-12's got 9. The other conferences basically have 9 put together.
Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, came out and he tweeted, look, the best advice he's received is to be patient, take your time when making decisions. This is all new to all of us. You'll gain better information each day. He has been deliberate. He's been very slow to make decisions. Is he smarter than anybody else, or is it? Is in the end, are we going to look back and go, hey, it really didn't matter. We all ended up in the same place.
Well, I think that there's a real good chance they'll all end up in the same place, but I agree with the SEC. Why make a decision before you absolutely have to? That's the whole thing. I mean, the Pac-12 set up their schedule starting September 26th with the option to push those first few games back. They could start on October 10th, right? Training camp, giving them 6 weeks to basically get 4 weeks in for camp. Everything has been set up to give them time and flexibility. And so here they are, you know, basically a week away from training camp. Why would they shut down now? That's what I don't get. They don't have to pull the plug today or tomorrow. Why not play it out until you get to the wall that you can't overcome? That seems to be what the SEC's philosophy is, and I think it's smart. I don't understand why the Pac-12 would vote today or tomorrow to shut down when they could just keep going and see what happens next week.
Yeah, what's the rush? I keep coming to that. Like, is there?
I don't know.
Do you think the Pac-12 player coalition played any role in what we're seeing now?
I think it probably made the presidents a little bit more nervous. You know, they're an incredibly risk-averse group, and I'm sure that those headlines didn't help. And I'm also, you know, I would have to think that some of the recent literature that suggests, you know, that if you get COVID-19, you could experience, you know, heart issues for an unknown length of time. There's been a couple of studies, but those studies have been out for, you know, a couple of weeks now. I don't really get it, but I also think that part of the reason the Pac-12 presidents have moved to this position is because the Big Ten presidents are. I think they are really taking their cue from the Big Ten, and I think the Big Ten is taking its cue from its commissioner, Kevin Warren, who was in his first year, and I think isn't necessarily as, you know, emotionally tied to college football, perhaps, as some of the other conferences' leaders, you know, so to speak, especially the SEC and the Big 12. So I think it's starting, the Pac-12 movement is kind of mirroring the Big 10s.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News is with us. Spring football for the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, or punt it all the way to the fall of 2021. What do you think's best if we left the decision with you?
If you left the decision, I guess I would first say, it. You know, what is the virus situation at that point in, say, February, and what is the vaccine standpoint or position. So those are the two big issues, and there's no way to know right now. I think the Pac-12 wants, if they cancel, they want to be able to tell their players what's next. Right. And right now they can't. They don't know. And nobody in college football knows what's going to happen if you have to shut down right now. So that's part of the discussion. And I think that there's probably some, not everybody's agreed in the Pac-12 on how to proceed with the spring. I think that there's a whole lot of obstacles, but at the same time, is there a path to playing? They may be able to work out a path to playing. I think it is extremely unlikely that they will play in the spring if they don't play in the fall.
Yeah, I don't like it there anyway for a number of reasons. I think you're going to get some players who are NFL prospects who are going to say it's not worth it. You're going to have competition with, your normal spring sports and the quick turnaround time. It just feels like a money grab in the spring.
Well, it could be. I mean, you know, you can look at it as a money grab now, money grab in the spring. It's kind of all a money grab in some ways until there's a vaccine, right? And that, but that's the thing is, what if there is a vaccine by February or March that's fairly widely available? So you could play an 8-game conference season with fans, right? And be done in, say, early April, and basically the players would have no spring practice, and then they'd have April, May, June, July off. The problem becomes then you butt up against the 2021 season. Do you delay the 2021 season? Do you shorten training camp? It's going to be very taxing on the players, and I think that is a gigantic part of the discussion with potentially playing in the spring.
Wilner, the next domino to fall, is it Tuesday's vote? And do you get a sense, you know, even though they say they haven't voted, have they made their mind up yet? Or is there going to be a bunch of discussion and then a vote?
You know, I think that there will be some discussion. I don't know that there are 12 presidents and chancellors that are absolutely saying, yes, we're canceling. I think that there are some that are basically in the cancel mode. And I think that there are some that are, you know, leaning that way, but not 100% convinced. And I think it will be real interesting to see what happens. You know, you never know. We get 12 presidents together, and you just don't know how things were going to go. And it's also possible that they won't vote. The Big Ten vote is supposed to be tonight, but what if the Big Ten says, you know what, we're gonna just pause and we're going to continue to evaluate things. And we have enough flexibility in our schedule so that we can wait a week, and we're going to wait a week. If that's the case, I can't see that the Pac-12 is going to go ahead and vote to cancel if the Big Ten says, you know what, we're going to wait.
John Wilner, final question for you. You've got Nebraska squawking about possibly playing with the SEC if they move forward. If a Pac-12 school said, hey, we're safe, we've got the budget, we have the players who want to play, let's use Oregon as the example. If Oregon wanted to play in the SEC this season, or at least participate in that schedule, is that something the Pac-12 gets behind, or does it have to be all 12 on the same page?
Well, I don't. I think it has to be. It certainly has got to be all 12 on the same page in terms of staying in the conference, right? I think that Oregon trying to move to the SEC would be met with a resounding amount of resistance, maybe even some threats. And certainly Oregon has signed their grant of rights away. So, you know, the SEC, if Oregon went to the SEC, Oregon's TV money wouldn't be going with the Ducks into the SEC. The Pac-12 owns the media rights. So, but I just think generally it's such a bad look. I don't think it's going to happen with Nebraska. Is there still a chance that some Pac-12 teams could play and others couldn't because they're just not ready? I suppose that might happen, but I don't see anybody actually going into a different conference on a short-term basis.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, you're the best, man. Sunny and blue skies out there, and we'll all get through this.
And eventually we will.
Take care, my friend.
All right. See you. Thanks.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group. Good stuff there from Wilner. If you missed any of that, grab the podcast. SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get a podcast, you can get the Bald Faced Truth radio show. We'll visit with Ben Bolch of the LA Times later in the show. Anna will pop back into studio. We have expanded the home studio. I've got some walking around room now, ultimately. Anna will be joining us later in the 2 o'clock hour, as she does every day. But coming up next, I've got the big splash. It's the one thing you need to know, and it's not going to be what we're talking about. Ben Bolch, LA Times, will be joining us later in the show. I want you to be here for that. Every day on the show, we do the big splash. Today's no different.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the Big Splash.
Well, today's Big Splash comes out of the NBA, where the Trailblazers are making a little bit of noise. Look, the Blazers bounced back. Damian Lillard scored 51 in the Blazers' victory over the 76ers. They shook off that loss to the Clippers. Look, I'm not among those who believes the Blazers can beat the Lakers or Clippers in a seven-game series, but the Blazers care. That's become evident to me. They're in this bubble. They care. They're locked in. They're trying to win games. Not everybody's trying to win. Don't know if you've noticed that, but Lillard rose up, hit a three while being fouled to put the Blazers up two with just under 3 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter yesterday against the Sixers. He turned around, he looked at the scoreboard, and that's Damian Lillard. Okay, let's walk away. This is a close game. Lillard scored 51, the Blazers won the game, and in the end, you got the Trailblazers looking a lot like they are a playoff team, that they belong in the top eight. And if you're a Blazer fan or an NBA fan, the best part about this is the competition of it. You got the Blazers in the bubble, looking like a team that's not busy getting oral surgery or going on a weekend leave and showing up and buying wings at a strip club. Or, you know, the Blazers look locked in. They look like they care, even when they lose. And that's the one thing you need to know. In the 1 o'clock hour, Ben Bolch of the LA Times will be joining us. I've got great sound, Punch It Audio. It is the best sound from all around. We'll recap all of the news, the latest news in one place. I know it's confusing because you got some entities reporting that there's been a vote from the Big Ten, others saying no vote. You got Jim Harbaugh coming out and saying the science supports us playing. You've got Ohio State on the other side of this not agreeing with that. Nebraska is saying, well, we want to play. And the SEC is saying, look, we're just preaching patience. We'll get to the bottom of all of that.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.